This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September the 4th, 2012, episode number 480. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world. We hope you all had a fantastic Labor Day weekend, had a great time, got a ride in. But you know what? Horses in the Morning is now live Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the summer. Today we bring you a highlight show from the Horse Radio Network to enjoy. If you caught this one already, please feel free to join us again live tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Jamie, Jennifer, and I will all be back. And of course, you can catch all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com or subscribe on iTunes by searching for Horses in the Morning. This show today is brought to you by Omega Alpha, and we have for you a little discussion about food that I really enjoyed from the Western Radio Show. They had Tom Perini on, who is the author of a new cookbook, and it's Texas Cowboy Cooking. Tom began Chuckwagon Cooking in 1973 and later opened Perini Ranch Steakhouse in 1983. And they just had a fantastic, I love talking about food anyway. Well, this episode was all about food. So if you're hungry, I'd grab something to eat and take a listen. If you're not hungry, you will be by the end of this time. This show is brought to you by Omega Alpha, and we're going to get to Western Radio Show, episode 121, here in a moment, right after we hear this word from Omega Alpha Equine. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And I have on the line here Kyle Carter, who is an international eventer and well-known throughout the eventing world, who uses Omega Alpha products. Kyle, I understand that you started using Omega Alpha about a year ago.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year and have noticed a remarkable difference in the horses that have been on it. And then if they've come off of it, the horse's health always has been better on it. It's one of the few supplement companies that I wholeheartedly believe in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You know, Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for all of their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. See you tomorrow morning, everybody. Enjoy.
Here we come, roping and riding. Can't stop now, the dirt as a fly. But we're bringing you all the news that you need to know. On the ranch or on the road show, post radios, wherever you're going, well, sit right back. It's a Western Radio Show. Sit right back. It's the Western Radio Show.
This is Alan Moorhead.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz, and this is the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
I feel like I'm on the Food Network today. I love to
watch. Oh.
Yeah.
Talking about food, Alan. Tom Perini from the Perini Ranch was on the bucket list. That is the places you have to eat before you die on the Texas Monthly magazine. And, it is a must do.
And just so you know, that is a marked off of my bucket list. I have eaten at the Perini Ranch.
It is on my bucket list.
Oh, God. And it would be worth the drive for you from Stephenville, Texas to Buffalo Gap, Texas. It's just outside. It would only be less than a couple of hours for you to go, and by the time you got back home, you'd be wanting to go back already, I can promise.
Be hungry
you.
Again. It'd be like this endless cycle, Alan.
And for our listeners, you know, somehow or another, Tammy always turns everything we talk about into food.
Alan always turns everything we talk about into the food. So what I did was find the best cookbook for cowboy cooking ever called Texas Cowboy Cooking with Tom, and I called him and asked him to join us on the show so Alan would be satisfied for an episode. But I think in the end, Alan, we're just going to be more hungry than ever.
Yeah, and you know, I'm getting hungry already, and the thing about it is the only way to satisfy that is let's go ahead and find out all the secrets from Tom Perini and the Perini Ranch. And welcome to the show, Tom Perini, Buffalo Gap, Texas, with Perini Ranch. And it's a steakhouse. It's cool. I've been there, Tammy. I've eaten.
I'm Dallas Allen.
Yeah. Grit, big old steak, cooked perfect over mesquite. Tom, welcome to the Western Radio Show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be involved and look forward in our conversation and talking.
Oh, well,
we're excited to have you, Tom. We talk about food every week.
Every week. And I'll just tell all of our listeners at westernradioshow.com, if you ever get to Abilene, Texas, just go south. Tom says it's like 15 miles. I don't remember how far it was, but it's worth the little old drive, I'll promise you that. And like Tom would tell you, just go to the southern line of the city limits of Abilene, stick your nose out the window, and you'll find it.
And, you know, it really is an easy drive. It is 15 miles, and we're located in a small town called Buffalo Gap, Texas. Has a lot of history,
yeah.
Small town, 460 people, but a beautiful little town.
Now, what got you started into the business of cooking for the public?
Well, I got started in the cattle business in about 65,
mm-hmm.
1965. And just wanted to be sure.
Okay, and, we're not talking about the 65 like back during the Civil War, so we're in
No.
It wasn't north and south then. It was.
And so I started raising cattle commercially and had some property up, and we leased some property up by Stamford, Texas, and had some here and ran a full operation. We were farming, had a cow-calf operation. We were feeding cattle, doing everything that you could to try to make money in the cattle business,
right.
Which anybody in agriculture knows it's tough, and you have to really love it because it's hard work, but it is a hard way to make a living.
Right.
And I did that for years, but in the process of this, you know, being a cowboy is harder than just buying a horse and some leggings and spurs and a hat. I mean, a cowboy is a real art, and I enjoyed going out and working with the cowboys. But what I really enjoyed was that we had a chuck wagon on the ranch, and I'd go out in the first drag and then come back in and work on the wagon and cook lunch and do that kind of thing. So I really enjoyed the cooking and the involvement with everybody in agriculture and everybody in the business. So a lot of the big ranches in our area would call me up. And for example, in this part of Texas, I cooked for the Swenson Landon Cattle when they had their 100th birthday in the Pitchfork Ranch and
cool.
The Matthews Ranch down by Albany. And we did... they'd asked me to bring a wagon over in Cowboys, and we'd go over and normally cook their beef, and they'd have their party. So those were the early days of when I enjoyed cooking. And a very dear friend of mine from Albany, and one day we were talking, and I just told him that it was tough that to make all this work, and
right.
And he had told me that he had found that the best cross with a good Hereford cow was an oil well pump jack. And if you didn't have a lot of oil well pump jacks, you should reconsider. And I didn't. We laughed. And he told me, he said, Tom, he said, you know how to cook beef. And he said, you can do more for the cattle industry by cooking it than you can by raising it. And I thought that was very interesting. So that year, we actually sold out of the commercial operation, and I opened the steakhouse in 83.
So did you have any prior restaurant experience, Tom, or is this just experience had been chuck wagon?
No, it was. We did a lot of chuck wagon things that we were doing in the 70s. And, you know, the chuck wagon kind of disappeared. They had, as soon as people were using pickups and things like that, they'd go out and take food out in a truck. And so the chuck wagons, if they hadn't put in barns, if they were left out, it already started to rot down, and the guys didn't want to hook up the mules. And so from a convenience standpoint, it was easier to drive out. So in the 70s, there was kind of a resurgence of people wanting to get involved. So we were very involved in how to restore wagons and how you cook on wagons and Dutch ovens and wood fires. And now, of course, it's very popular, and we're thrilled to have been involved at first with it. But it is a different way of cooking. when you're cooking with live fire and coals and cast iron and stuff, it's just a different way, but it also has a different flavor. So I think that the simple food and chuck wagon food is very good, and that same theory is what we use in the steakhouse. All of our food is simple.
And one thing, and I cook over open flame, too, because every time I travel through Texas rodeo, in which I'm going to be in Fort Worth all week next week, I wished you had a delivery system that could bring us over to the Will Rogers, but go ahead and put me down for a...
I will.
A big one, medium rare one, and baked potatoes. But how sensitive and how focused do you have to be when you're cooking over a live fire that you don't overcook or undercook or whatever? You know, how much attention do you have to pay? And I know you're using mesquite wood, right?
Yes.
Because I bring mesquite wood. Like I said, I bring mesquite wood home every time, and I try to, you know, cook over that. My wife thinks it's a little too strong. I love the mesquite. So with her, I do a little oak and sometimes some pecan wood. Together to give a little sweetness.
Well, and you know, if you're smoking something, if you're doing something, if you're cooking a brisket, something that's taking a long time, you have to be careful with the kind of wood you use because you don't want to make it overpowering.
Right.
And you always want to use a dry wood. Don't use green because you're going to get heavy, heavy tar and stuff build up, and it really will be strong.
Right.
But by cooking, you have a smoking, which is a slow method, and then you have cooking a steak, which is a fast method.
Right.
You know, on cooking a steak, you're talking maybe 4 minutes per side, where a brisket might take 12 hours.
Well, would that depend on how thick it was, too? Like, if I want a three-quarter-inch steak, because I like mine getting thick. What's that going to get me? Is that going to get me rare, medium rare, or medium minus? Or
we cook a inch and a quarter steak.
Yee!
16 ounces, I'm sorry.
I could eat a 16-pound steak.
Yeah. And, you know, 4 minutes on each side is going to get you a medium rare.
All right.
And it depends, of course, on how close you are to the fire and how hot your coals are. Now, that's where mesquite comes in, because mesquite and oak make a very hot coal and a hot fire. Pecan gives you more smoke and a different smoke flavor, but it's a softer wood. So, you want something that's going to give you the heat. And you know, I put a dry rub. I like to put a dry rub on a piece of beef, something that won't overpower the beef flavor. And then when you cook it over a mesquite fire and you get a little flame, it will kiss or just, and when it goes, you know, it gets a little char on that, which gives a wonderful flavor.
Yes, it does.
With something that's medium rare. Or I do not recommend cooking above medium. Because at that point,
shoe leather.
Well, you start the process starts going down because you start taking out all the moisture and it starts becoming more tough. I don't care what cut it is.
Right.
So, and when I'm saying medium, you need to have a little color. I mean, it doesn't have to be red, but you need a little color. And when you pass that point, it gets pretty dry.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I noticed too, because I ate out on your patio. And there's a grill out there, and it looked to me like they had some wood burning, like in a drum, and then they would take those coals and move them over to the grill. What is that process about?
Well, the process is that we've come up with a way. You know, we still do lots of work on ranches and also in big cities, so you can't go in somebody's front yard and build a big mesquite fire.
Right.
And you'd frown on that. So. We've developed a 55-gallon drum where we've actually cut out one end and leave the other end half cut out, and it's on a stand, so we can build a fire and not hurt anybody's yard or the asphalt and do that. But you also can control your fire if the wind's blowing and you need it to burn. You can turn it into the wind, or you can turn it out of the wind, or if it rains, it won't put it out. But from a safety standpoint, we have a lot more control over it. So when you're on a ranch, you've got to be, or somebody's yard, you've got to be very careful, you know, just so you don't start a fire. So we get the mesquite, burn it down, and when it becomes cold, then we'll actually shovel the coals underneath what we're cooking, and we can control the temperature.
That's great fun. I mean, I just like cooking that way. And I want to talk about your cookbook as well, Texas Cowboy Cooking, and how you can help folks. We're going to find out how folks can get a copy of it and learn how to cook like you do and I attempt to. What made you decide to want to write a cookbook, to share your secrets?
Well, I had kind of a lot of pressure. A lot of people said, when are you going to do a cookbook? And I kept putting it off and off. And you know, when you do a cookbook, and in the case of ours with Texas Cowboy Cooking, we really did not leave anything out. It really has all the parts and all the, we did everything the way. There were recipes that a lot of them we had developed. And I was a little hesitant. I thought, I'm kind of concerned about giving everybody all of our secrets.
Right.
And I talked to a dear friend of ours that's written a lot of cookbooks. And I said, I voiced my concern. I said, you know, why would they come to the steakhouse? And, you know, your competition would get the stuff and everything. And he laughed and he said, Tom, anybody that really wants to figure out your recipe can.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you'll find out that you'll develop a long time following. People still want to know how you do it, but when they come to the steakhouse, they still order it. And
right.
He said, don't worry about that. So that's what we did. And we did that. We did the cookbook in 2000. And, you know, and we're still selling it today. And it's a very popular book. And I will tell you, I think what makes it popular, first of all, it's simple. You know, if you have garlic and salt and pepper and butter and a little bacon drippings, you know, you've got what you need to cook. So they're simple recipes.
I love bacon grease.
But it's the truth. You know, you think about it, a bacon drippings. I grew up where you always had a can beside the stove.
Absolutely, I do.
You would save that, and it's a wonderful flavor. If you're fixing beans or green beans or anything, those are those flavors that are the old-time way of flavoring. So we use a lot of these. And it gives its own flavor. I know, you know, people go, oh, my gosh. But they've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, because I have a big cast iron skillet that I cook breakfast in. And I'll fry a pound of bacon, and then I'll pour some of the grease off and leave a good bit in. And then I cook my eggs in that. Oh God almighty.
Sure. And the flavor, and, you know,
yes.
It's just that is the kind of cooking that we do. And it's and simple cooking. So we cook like a ranch cook shack or like a wagon. And those are the type of dishes. And it's really worked for us. And
so with the book, Tom, someone like me who is a scared of cookbooks, is there recipes in this that someone could just pick up and someone who hasn't really got a lot of experience cooking can successfully get through?
And I honestly think that's what makes it, I mean, people have enjoyed it because lots of times people buy the cookbook and give this to newlyweds. And so there are lots of recipes that you can look at. And incidentally, they're also great photographs. So, you know, besides, you can get an idea of what it's supposed to look like. And then if there's a story with a recipe, where we got it or how we created it or what ranch it came off of, it's fun. And they're just simple 4 or 5 step things. So yes, as someone just starting, you could go in and say, gosh, this sounds good. I'm going to try it. And I've always recommended this, but you try my recipe the first time. And then if you want to change it now, at that point, now it's yours. And if you want to add more black pepper or less garlic or change it, you can do it, but just try it my way one time. And
so, Tom, tell us a little bit about the book and especially the foreword by Robert Duvall. So how did he get involved with your book?
Well, we are good friends with the Duvalls, and Bobby, I call him Bobby. Bobby comes out here all the time to the ranch. And so when we were doing the book and starting to do this, I was telling him about it. And he was very entranced. And I said, Bobby, would you help me with this? And he said he was thrilled. So he did the foreword. And we've had a lot of fun with it because people ask him different questions and stuff. And Duvall is a foodie.
Like Alan.
He goes all over, and he loves joints, which our place is a joint. Yeah. And, you know, and anything that you can see or smell before you walk in, that's a positive. And so he'll go to all these different places, and you know, he'll call me and tell me what his experience is. But what he really likes to do is he'll be someplace, and he'll call, and he'll say, I think I've had the best steak I've ever had. Ha, 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 ha. So you know, we have this little fight, little game that we have to play all the time. But he really is a foodie and loves good food. So it's been a great friendship. Yeah.
That would be like you calling him after you've seen a new Clint Eastwood movie and saying, I've seen the best movie I've ever seen.
That's Western.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm just telling you right now, I don't have that. I'm not that tough. But that's a good way to look at it. I haven't thought about it like that.
Yeah. Go ahead. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
You cook with fire, man. Don't be scared.
That's right. He might take it back. He might take everything back. So
you mentioned the seasonings. And, of course, you said salt, pepper, and garlic, bacon drippings. And I know you make a great rub that really seasons those steaks. What are the proportions that you would use? And I know it's in your cookbook, and we're going to tell everybody how to get that cookbook, I hope, because I want one. But to get it perfect, and Bob Tallman, rodeo announcing friend of mine, he's got a seasoning rub like that too. He calls it steak dust. And what kind of a proportion do you use from garlic to salt to pepper to make your rub? Is it all even? Or?
Well, you tell Bob I said hello, because I worked with him on several occasions. And now on the seasoning, and I don't have the actual rub parts, I mean, here as far as percentages, but in a steak seasoning, remember, you're not overpowering. You're not trying to cover anything up.
No.
I think a lot of the early seasonings and a lot of your peppers and things were designed to cover up meat that might be, you know, on the cusp of, you know, before refrigeration. Right. So don't try to cover up the meat. You know, in a steak deal, in most seasonings, salt is one of your first things. In our case, we use salt and pepper. I use a little beef base, and I do that because I want to keep that beef flavor. And so we have a little oregano, a little sugar, you know, not much. But you can stay very simple, because if you use, for example, salt, pepper, and garlic as a base, then you can add some of the little things that you want to. But those three things, if you just use those three things, you'd be fine.
Because and his steak dust is just about perfect. I use that, and man, it's already there. You don't have to mix it all, and I like it a lot. Now let's talk. You talked about Robert Duvall, Gustus McCrae, Bob Tallman. What are some of the famous folks that have enjoyed meals at the Perini Ranch?
Well, I've had quite a few. Clint Eastwood. I can't even remember all of them, but I really have had, you know, we're a destination restaurant.
Now, when Clint was there, did you show him your cookbook and say, look, Bob Duvall did my forward in my book. What can you do? these are good movies. When are you going to do one?
Yeah, what are you doing on my next cookbook? No, I didn't do that.
Oh, okay.
But it's always fun when all those different people, you know, and they show up and you – And you know, they'll be back in the corner and you won't even know it. Years ago, Andre Agassi came out, the tennis
player,
and he was out, and I'd heard about it. I was actually in Abilene, and I heard about it, and I thought, oh, my God, because at that point he had long hair, real long hair. And he was coming out to the steakhouse, and I called, and they said, yes, that there was somebody there with long hair, and I said, are there any cowboys? And I was like, uh-oh, we got a problem going. And nothing, of course, happened. But, you know, when you're on a ranch in this part of Texas, you have to be a little careful sometimes.
Right. And like I was telling you off air just a bit ago, just, I mean, your directions include turn off the paved road, and you come down that dirt lane through the mesquite trees and all, and then you get to the plank-built cabin, and it's basically that's what it looks like to me when you come back in there. Not quite like the bunkhouse, but just a ranch house, and it just really takes you back in time, and the food, you know, you can just feel the love and the care that goes into the food, and it's delicious. And www.periniranch.com. That's the website where you can find out more information. And is there a store on that website to where you could possibly buy that cookbook?
Oh, there's sure. Steak rub, Alan. You can get the steak rub at the store.
Steak rub, and yes, it's just periniranch.com.
Oh, well, I know what I'm going to do then. I'm going to order your steak rub and have a bunch sent to the house, and I'm going to use it. Then I'm going to call Bob Tallman and say, Bob,
you're going to start a little problem. Yeah, I can tell. You're a troublemaker.
You got to work on this.
I'm not good enough to be a troublemaker.
it's been fun, and you know, I just want to tell you out here, we're very simple, and this is not a place that you need to wear a coat and tie.
Sounds perfect.
And, you know, screen doors, and but we have a lot of people that come from all over and would love to see anybody that wants to come.
And, you know, that's what amazes me is how simplistic, you know, you make it sound. And even when you watch and just the rubs and the way you cook it, it's simplicity that really gives you a complex flavor. I mean, it just jumps out at you. It's bold all the way down. And, I mean, it doesn't mess with you later on. A great steak at the Perini Ranch down in Texas. Just go south out of Abilene, Texas.
And the Buffalo Gap, and that's where we are.
Stick your nose out the window and you'll smell the mesquite wood.
Yes. Well, thank you all. I appreciate your time.
You bet. And best of luck to you and everything that you do. And, man, we certainly appreciate you stopping by. And I'm hungry now, and I got to go to Minnesota State Fair Rodeo. It's just going
to
be
anything I can do to help you all, let me know. But I appreciate it.
I'm going over to the Minnesota State Fair and get a gourmet corn dog or something. Now,
you're going to be disappointed today, Alan.
I understand. Well, thank you all.
Yeah. Corn dog. Corn dog. So they have chicken on a stick. They have all kind of good stuff over there. But and up in this part of the world, cheese curds, fried cheese curds are the thing. And
What's that, Alan?
It's just cheese curds, the curds from the cheese where they take the top off and whatnot, and they batter them and fry them. And you can tell when you have really fresh ones because they squeak on your teeth. And,
seriously? That's like a – I didn't know what you're talking about.
Have you ever had, like, fried mozzarella sticks somewhere as an appetizer?
Yep.
Same kind of a thing, only they're little small squares. And I don't know exactly what all the process is, but the cheese curd is something that from the preliminary process, it doesn't actually make the cheese. And first time I ever heard of it when I was doing a fair rodeo several years ago in Wisconsin, somebody says, going to get some cheese curds. I says, that sounds like something you throw away.
Exactly.
But they are delicious, I'll promise you that. But not quite as delicious as a Perini Ranch Steakhouse steak seasoned and kissed by the mesquite fire.
I am on their website, Alan, periniranch.com, and I am ordering my cookbook and my steak rub. I'm going to give it a shot.
Now, okay, let me ask you this real quick, Ozzy. When you order a steak... How do you order it when they say, how would you like that cooked?
Well, I lived on a cattle ranch, Alan. I know medium. Don't go above medium or you'll be booed.
Exactly right. I'm an eye roller. And my wife's mom orders one medium rare, but she orders one well done. I says, golly, well, here, let me cut my boot up for you.
Exactly.
Anything above medium rare, you start losing the juices and the natural flavor. It's, and they use a good quality meat there, and talking to him offline, it comes out of North Texas up in the Panhandle, so it's Texas beef, Texas restaurant, Texas hospitality, and I mean it's going back into the when you step up in there. Of course, they have electricity and all, but it's almost like stepping into a 1920s, 1930s ranch house. You would enjoy the experience at the Perini Ranch, Buffalo Gap, Texas. Just south of Abilene. So if you ever got business in Abilene, make sure you look up Perini Ranch. It's really cool. I meant to ask you if you knew Joe Allen. Joe Allen has a great steakhouse there in Abilene, too, but it's well worth the drive to Buffalo Gap. Are you going?
I'm going to give this cookbook a shot, Alan. But yeah, when I'm headed west, I am headed a little south.
So here's the deal. And to me, when he was talking about losing business because of the cookbook, I don't think you will, because you're going to have folks trying the recipes in the cookbook. Then they're going to go to the Perini Ranch to see if they got it right. They're going to go back home and do it again because they didn't think they had it right. They're going to go back. It's a quality control kind of a deal. So after you try the recipes, you have to go to Buffalo Gap, Texas.
There's nothing like having someone cook for you. Even if it tastes exactly the same, it tastes better at the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But there's no way it can taste exactly the same.
And that's one thing, too. There's a restaurant slash bar kind of a deal, and it's big in Texas the way they do that thing, and I cannot remember the name of it. It's in Rockwall, Texas. Go there whenever I'm in Mesquite with my sons, about 15 miles away, and you walk in, you order steak, and they got great meat, and they cook it perfect, and at the grill, you can see you have the opportunity for like a dollar less or a dollar and a half, maybe $2 less to cook your own steak, and when you order, they say, well, am I cooking it or are you cooking it? Because they want to get the price right, and I says, I'm out to eat. You cook it.
Exactly.
Dang. Just sit here and sip a little bit. That's it. And be sure to listen next week. We're going to have another. And as much as I love to cook, you cook it for me. I'm out to eat. That's what I'm paying for. Be sure to listen next week. We're going to have another great show on westernradioshow.com.
And the show notes and links from today's show is www.westernradioshow.com, and we'd love to hear your feedback. We have a contact link on the website, or you can Twitter at Horse Radio. You can email Alan at alan@horseradionetwork.com or tammy@horseradionetwork.com. And we're on Facebook, Alan Moorhead, Tammy Strontz, and Western Radio Show. And I will post the links from the ranch on the Western Radio Show Facebook.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Send them over to mine, too. I can't get a hold of mine right now. Be sure to visit all the great shows on the Horse Radio Network. They're at www.horseradionetwork.com. Tammy.
I'm hungry.
I'm almost full, but I'm hungry just talking about it. It's been a great show. And remember, folks, no matter how bad things may look or sometimes how bad things may taste, the world's look better. But when you're looking down between the ears of your horse and a Perini Ranch steak, that would be good right now riding around on my horse.
Headed towards the restaurant, Alan. Headed south to Abilene.
Have a great day.